This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
I'd like to begin this morning by reading a story from one of my favorite children's books, Frog and Toad Together. And this is going to be a story called The Garden. Frog was in his garden. Toad came walking by. "What a fine garden you have, Frog," he said.
"Yes," said Frog, "it is very nice, but it was hard work."
"I wish I had a garden," said Toad.
"Well, here are some flower seeds. Plant them in the ground," said Frog,
"and soon you will have a garden."
"How soon?" asked Toad. "Quite soon," said Frog.
Toad ran home. He planted the flower seeds.
"Now, seeds," said Toad, "start growing."
Toad walked up and down a few times. The seeds did not start to grow. Toad put his head close to the ground and said loudly, "Now, seeds, start growing." And Toad looked at the ground again, and the seeds did not start to grow. Toad put his head very close to the ground, and he shouted, "Now, seeds, start growing." And Frog came running up the path.
"What is all this noise?" he asked.
"My seeds will not grow," said Toad.
"Well, you're shouting too much," said Frog. "Those poor seeds are afraid to grow."
"My seeds are afraid to grow?" asked Toad.
"Of course," said Frog. "Leave them alone for a few days, let the sun shine on them, and let the rain fall on them, and soon your seeds will start to grow."
That night, Toad looked out of his window. "Drat," said Toad, "my seeds have not started to grow. They must be afraid of the dark." So Toad went out to his garden with some candles.
"I will read the seeds a story," said Toad. "Then they will not be afraid."
So Toad read a long story to his seeds. And all the next day, Toad sang songs to his seeds. And all the next day, Toad read poems to his seeds. And all the next day, Toad played music for his seeds. And Toad looked at the ground, and the seeds still did not start to grow.
"What shall I do?" cried Toad. "These must be the most frightened seeds in the whole world."
Then Toad felt very tired, and he fell asleep.
"Toad, Toad, wake up," said Frog. "Look at your garden."
And Toad looked at his garden, and little green plants were coming up out of the ground.
"At last," shouted Toad, "my seeds have stopped being afraid to grow."
"And now you will have a nice garden too," said Frog.
"Yes," said Toad, "but you were right, Frog. It was very hard work." Little story from Frog and Toad. Yeah. Tell me something. Have you ever read a familiar part of the Bible and noticed something you'd never seen before? Well, the Lord has shown me something new from the parable of the sower. You remember that parable, don't you? Jesus told about a sower sowing seeds and how some fell by the wayside, some fell on rock, some fell among thorns, and others fell on good ground. Now, I want to read today from Luke 8, where Jesus is explaining this parable. Jesus said, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. And the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. I don't know if you caught that in there, but it says they keep it and bear fruit with patience. They bear fruit with patience. Why, this parable, it's all about patience. I don't mean patience toward people. I mean patience toward God. Jesus is speaking here about patience in our walk with God, patience in doing His work, patience in His working in us. I believe that when you understand what God's trying to say here, that you're going to understand more clearly why so many Christians are backsliding. So many Christians are falling away. And I hope you'll also understand better how the Lord is working in your own heart. The good ground that Jesus mentions indicates those who heard the word and eventually brought forth fruit with patience. The other hearers brought forth a measure of fruit too, but only for a time. And the reason is because they were impatient with the Lord. They were impatient in His working in their lives, and so they fell away. Let's pray. Lord, I pray as we explore this parable that You will help us to see each of these hearers in a new light. Thank You for the fresh insight You've given me as I prepared this message, and may everyone in this room be able to understand and receive it as well. Amen. Well, first let's look at the wayside here. Let's consider the wayside here in verse 12, those by the wayside are the ones that hear. Now, this hearer has the word of God planted in his heart. And he heard it like any interested hearer. He sat, he listened, didn't turn it off. He was not a mocker. He had respect for the word. And yet, Jesus said, they hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Oh, let's think about that for a minute. This hearer apparently is not a Christian because he's not yet believed or been saved. Therefore, the question we must ask is this wayside hearer simply an innocent, childlike person anxiously hearing the word? Is it true that through no fault of the hearer, that the devil can just swoop down and rob him of the preached word and blind him spiritually so that he won't turn to the Lord? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. That's not the gospel we preach. It's certainly not the God we serve. No, I believe Jesus is saying something way deeper here. I think he's saying, well, let's look at verse 5, in fact, to see what he's saying. It says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured. And there's our clue. The phrase Jesus uses is trampled down. In other words, this hearer has heard often. In fact, he's a professional hearer. His heart has been trampled down by years of hearing without heeding. So Jesus is telling us about the heart of this hearer. It's interesting that the Greek word used by Luke for trampled down means rejection with disdain. It means an attitude of superiority. So now we know that the wayside hearer has been reproved so often and for so long, he now smirks at the gospel. He laughs at it. He mocks it. Nothing about it moves him anymore. And this trampled down hearer is very impatient. He doesn't want to deal with his problems, and he'd rather drown them in pleasure, you know, something like alcohol or drugs or sex, hey, anything, anything to calm down his terrible feelings of guilt. Oh, sure, you can talk to him about having heaven someday, but he wants it all now. He's longing for good times, you know, like no problems, no self-denial, no hardships. He's thinking, take up my cross and endure suffering? No will of my own? Waiting forever for God to work character in me? You've got to be kidding. I think most of you realize that multitudes of Americans are in a big hurry to prosper, to get theirs while the getting's good. The saddest thing, though, is how this spirit has now begun creeping into the church. Most Christians have very little patience for being tested or being tried. They have no time for waiting on God or for bearing fruit with patience, as Jesus described. Instead, they want a full, they want a blessed, they want a painless, they want a prosperous lifestyle with no waiting and no preparation and no reproof. And unfortunately, there are a bunch of teachers around to back them up. These believers, see, they hate any preaching of obedience or separation or holiness or repentance. They call it doomsday preaching. And you know why they resist with such spite? They resist because they are the ones who are trampled down with the urge to get it all now. They want to be entertained. They want to be blessed. They want to go to church and feel happy. And they want to leave in the same condition that they came in. They don't want the Holy Spirit digging deeply. They don't want the Holy Spirit doing the slow work of faith. They'd rather get a charismatic circus or some kind of an entertaining concert. And next we have number two, the rootless hearer. Let's consider the rootless hearer. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. See, now these hearers, they make the best-looking converts you're ever going to see. I mean, they are happy. They are full of joy. They are vibrant. They testify to Christ's work in their lives. And theirs is a true conversion. They sincerely want to go on with the Lord, convicted by the Word and repentant and living in His joy. And that's why I want you, every new convert, to pay close attention. If you ever fall away from the Lord, it will be because you're in this category, a rootless hearer. You've been saved. You've been filled with God's peace. And now you're praising the Lord. You sing and you worship and you have joy. But one problem remains. You still battle a powerful temptation. It's like a snake ready to strike at you, and you hate this sin that once controlled your life, and now you're on your knees crying, "Oh, Jesus, deliver me. Oh, Jesus, I don't want this old lust harassing me. I want to be free. I want to be clean. Help me. Help me, Lord. It has a hold on my heart." Now, please notice, Jesus says that rootless hearers in time of temptation fall away. Now, this does not mean the temptation was so overwhelming that they can't resist it. That doesn't mean that. It does not mean they fall because of an overwhelming desire for drugs or a sexual urge or a thirst for alcohol or whatever else. It has nothing to do with that. Instead, it has to do with being impatient with the work of God. what agonizing cries this rootless hearer will send up in times of temptation. He says, oh, Lord, set me free. Take away my desires for the old sins. When will you ever deliver me, Lord, so I will never have to be afraid anymore? And yet, when the rootless hearer comes into temptation, he falls. Why? Because he's not patient enough to put down roots. You see, friends, it's not enough to repent and simply say yes to God. You have to put down roots in the Lord. And that takes patience. You can't simply drop a seed into the ground and stand over it and command, grow, roots. No, it's a natural process that takes time. It is, in fact, a sovereign work of the Lord. But many young believers, man, they are so surprised when they fall. They tend to immediately condemn themselves. And then after repeated failures, they finally tell themselves, well, there's just no use trying. And that's when the devil begins to whisper in their ear, saying, you're no good. You're too wicked. You can't make it. You may as well quit. And they forget that God always judges with great compassion. Listen, God knew there hadn't been time for roots to be put down. He knows that's the reason for the fall. There simply had not been time to grow the roots. Now, you may think this sounds like an excuse, but it isn't. It's a valid explanation for what happens in our walk with the Lord. And the answer is to all of it is just this. Go back. Get up. Go back. Pray. Dig in. Ask the Lord for roots. Ask the Lord for patience until the roots come. Because our impatience can be totally destructive. And God certainly knows this. Consider the impatience of the Israelites in the Old Testament. Moses went up to the mountain, and God delayed him there. And what happened down below? The people lost their patience. The Bible says that after 40 days, they rose up to play and dance and carouse in a drunken orgy. They finally decide to melt all their jewelry and make a golden calf to worship. Can you picture the Israelites saying, so, where's Moses? Where is our God? Hey, what kind of a deliverance is this? God has let us down. So you know what? Now we're just going to do our own thing. And ironically, at that very moment, Moses was on his way down the mountain with God's word in his hands. But they were impatient. Number three, there's also the thorny hearers. And the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. You see, Jesus tells us that this hearer did not fall. This hearer did not go back to the world. It says, no, that he continued on, but he didn't bear any fruit. For you see, the thorny hearer goes to church. The thorny hearer listens to preaching, reads his Bible, hangs around God's people. He goes through all the motions, but he bears no fruit to fullness. He makes a lot of promises to God, but never fulfills them. He's simply there, spiritually empty, just a body filling a chair. And Jesus says that once the thorny hearer hears the word, he goes on with his life. Oh, he prays a little every day, talks the Christian talk, and witnesses to others occasionally. But he's preoccupied. He's busy with cares and pleasures and business. And do you know how he got so bogged down with the cares of this world? It was through riches. The Bible says this type of hearer is drawn into lustful pleasures by his desire for wealth. 1 Timothy 6:9 says, "But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction." And personally, I believe that the thorny hearer is more impatient than anyone else in this parable. Often this person is entrepreneurial. Man, they are high powered. They're a person of action. They are many times kind and charitable, not at all selfish. But an impatience has gripped him. It's an impatience with the high cost demand of the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, the thorny hearer, he just can't fully embrace self-denial. He can't tolerate the idea of forsaking all to follow Jesus. The thorny hearer chokes on the demand to come out of the world and be separate, to be clean. And he chokes on the call to make his career secondary and to give his life to what God's interests are. I can honestly say that I have known very few wealthy people who truly practice self-denial. You know why? Because they're accustomed to providing everything for themselves. Not dependent on the Lord, they're dependent on themselves. They're like the thorny hearer who has never been weaned of the things of this world. Then number four. Finally, there is the good ground hearer. And the seed in the good ground, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with patience. Look real quick at 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 5. And it'll say here what a good and honest heart actually is. It says there, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." See, in that verse right there, we find the two distinguishing marks of a good ground hearer. Number one, it's a heart that's set on loving God. And number two, a heart that's convinced that Jesus will always deliver on time. Two characteristics that are a necessity for a heart that produces lasting fruit. The heart is set on loving God and is totally convinced that Jesus will deliver on time. Now, to make sure there's no misunderstanding, let me assure you that the good ground hearer is just like everybody else. He faces great afflictions, fiery trials, difficult tests that seem strange to him. His body gets tired. Sometimes this good ground hearer gets depressed. Sometimes he's seduced by the flesh. Sometimes his passions can get out of hand. Sometimes his thoughts are out of line, and they have to be brought back into obedience to the Lord. Sometimes his love for Christ is tested, and he has long, dry spells. Sometimes he has a troubled conscience. But his heart has a definite direction. In every circumstance, the good ground hearer directs himself first into the love of God, and then into patiently waiting for Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ always delivers on time. Please note that this waiting patiently on Christ has a dual meaning. Of course, anticipating Jesus' second coming is one, but it also means waiting for Jesus to come suddenly in answer to your prayer and to deliver you or bless you. The honest and good heart is one that says, Jesus, I know I'm not perfect. I know my heart is black without your cleansing blood. But I also know that I love you with all my heart. And I am determined to obey you. I want to please you, Lord, in my daily living. And yet, I just don't have the power in myself to do anything. You have promised to keep me. Therefore, I'm going to wait, Lord, for you to deliver me or bless me or direct me. I'm going to wait. Now, the word Jesus used when referring to bearing fruit with patience was cheerful, you know. Hopeful endurance through all tests. In the book of Hebrews, we read, for you have need of endurance. So, why? So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. We need endurance. Otherwise, we won't wait and we won't receive the promise. So, how about you? You know, sermons are always about you, the one who's hearing it. Trust me, I've been beat up by this because I had to hear it before I preached it. But have you set your hope? Have you set your whole life on the Word of God? Do you believe it will keep you throughout all the years of your walk with Him? See, I encourage you, take God's word and you settle it in your heart right now. Decide, you're going to believe it, you're going to trust it, you're going to depend on it. It's the Word of God, not because the Bible is something, but the one who wrote it is. The God of the Bible. You can trust Him. Let that confidence produce in you an honest, pure, and good heart. And you know what you're going to discover? What you're going to discover? You're going to find that in every trial and every temptation, it will always, always direct you immediately into God's love and into patience. I don't have to worry. Looks bad. I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry. Do I trust God or do I not trust God? If you trust God, relax. Relax. Why are you freaking out? Why are you, by everything you do and say, demonstrating that you don't trust Him? Well, it's horrible what happened. According to who? From whose perspective? Yours? Well, you don't know anything. I don't know anything. What do we know? Little pieces of lettuce walking around on the planet down here like we know something. We don't have enough sense to come out of the rain. We know that God can do all things, and He knows me, and He loves me anyway, and He'll take care of me if I'll just let Him. He's given us a free will to choose or reject. We just had a whole series on that talking about this through the summer. God never messes with your will. He will put things in your mind. He will flood your mind. He will talk to you. He will speak to you. He'll draw you. He will make you feel things. You can feel emotional and feel drawn and feel good or bad. But your will, how you respond to all that, is always yours. He honors that. He respects you enough to let you choose. And he's hoping you'll choose him. You can choose anything you want. You can grieve him. And he'll cry as you don't accept him. But not just in your life. I mean, every situation. He wants you to trust him. He goes, why are you doing it? Jesus said it on the boat. Here come the big storm. He's sleeping in the back. The disciples are freaking out. They say, woke him up. I can't believe you're sleeping back here when we're about to die. And he says, oh, you of little faith. How long must I be with you? How long must I show you this, how I am, before you'll finally believe me and finally trust me and finally relax? And he spoke and this storm quieted down right then. He says, calm down, little puppies. What's with you guys? And God's saying that to us. Stop freaking out when life happens. He's walking through life with you. He's right there. And nothing happens to you if you're a believer. Nothing happens to you that God doesn't allow. And he loves you just more than you could love your kids. He's not letting anything happen to you that's not going to be for your benefit. Sometimes you don't like it. When I was a kid, my mom and dad did things to me I didn't like. They didn't seem to get it. I had things to do. I had places to be. And they didn't seem to get it. So when I came to the place of trusting them and said they maybe know more than me, my life was way better. And so will ours be if we trust in the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, please touch our hearts. Forgive us of our impatience, of our failure to trust you. And now, Lord, just as your word has convicted us of our sin, I pray you will forgive us as we confess our sin to you. Holy Spirit, have your way in each of us right now. And with our eyes still closed, and the reason we have them closed is because we're paying reverence to God. Or being private in our own thoughts, our own mind. I want to ask you, how many will you say right now, I realize my heart has not been patient as it should. I confess I have been a wayside hearer. Heard many times, but never responded. Or I've been a rootless hearer. Impatient, not allowing time for roots to develop. Or I've been a thorny hearer. And from this day forward, though, Lord, I truly want to be a good ground hearer. If that's you, I have been impatient, but I want to be patient now and be a good ground. If that's you and your confession, will you simply just indicate it? Show the Lord and me. Just lift your hand, put it right back. Up and down. That's it. You don't have to hold it up and long. Just it's God sees your hand. I see it. I'm praying for you. God, I have been one of the wrong kinds of hearers. I want to be a good ground hearer now. Lord, you're seeing these who are asking for a fresh start. We are so grateful for your love that you are always ready to forgive anyone who truly repents. And I pray you will strengthen each one of these who have humbled themselves before you by raising their hand this morning. May there be a noticeable difference in them because of their willingness to be honest. And may everyone hearing my voice receive an abundance of patience as as we trust in you, Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.